Tearsomeness.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Tuesday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Intern Cam has the Periscope fired up if you want to watch along. How are we this morning? Thumbs up from Ben, Cody.
Doing a lot better this morning. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. Sorry to leave you guys hanging yesterday.
It was fun. If you're going to leave us hanging, Monday's the day to do it, usually.
That's the one thing I took solace in.
Okay.
I knew everything would be fine because it was Monday.
If it was a Tuesday or Wednesday, it'd be a little bit different, or maybe a Wednesday or Thursday.
I know Monday's a reaction day.
Yeah.
Got a lot of sports on the weekend, stuff like that. So, I feel a lot better today than I did yesterday.
Good.
I'll just leave it at that.
Good.
How you doing?
I'm all right. It's hot. The car from, well, not in here.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I'm kind of
nice
cold
and chilly
in here,
but the walk from the car to the door made me very happy that I'm no longer on the farm. Like, I had some violent flashbacks to hot summer days of being out having to do physical labor in this, so I was glad that I had made the switch. So shout out to all of our blue-collar working men out there on the streets today. Stay safe, drink a lot of water. It's a hot one.
It is always a really rough 12 seconds. That walk from the car to the door here, it's I know what you mean. It can be intense, pretty brutal.
So it was a nice reminder of a past life for me. So I'm happy to be here doing the show. Everyone else, like I said, be safe, hydrate, drink a lot of water. So last night, I guess the biggest story, we had Tennessee miss out on three recruits yesterday.
Yeah, the big offensive guard.
Finished second in three of them. I've put the signal out for Jesse Simonton of VolQuest to join us to push up our weekly segment with him. Just because I won't be here tomorrow. I have a funeral I have to carry the casket for, so I won't be here tomorrow. So I told Jesse, hey, see if you can come on today, and let's go ahead and let's recap this and talk about Pruitt and Tennessee finishing second for three pretty good guys yesterday.
Yeah, the only problem in football recruiting is if you finish second, you might as well finish last.
Not always. It's better to finish second than last. I mean, in case something happens and they change their mind about the other school, sometimes they'll go back to you sometimes, so that's better
okay.
than finishing last. But hopefully we'll talk about that later in the show. You did see history last night. As the Warriors became the first team since the late 50s, early 60s Celtics to make five straight finals. And they won that entire series, including the last game of the Rockets series without Kevin Durant. 5-0 without him in the playoffs.
And a pretty easy sweep over the Blazers.
Well, I mean, every sweep is easy by definition, right? I mean, every sweep, I mean, you don't lose a game. Obviously, it's looked at easy, but I would say that this was a tough sweep. I mean, they played 184 total minutes of basketball. And the Portland Trailblazers led for 101 of those. So, the Blazers led 18 more minutes in the series than the Warriors did. So, I mean, I don't know if I'd call it an easy sweep because, like I said, Portland had their chances. They blew leads. They blew a lead yesterday. They blew a lead in game two. I mean, they had an 8-point lead in the fourth quarter of game two with 4.5 minutes left where they could have stolen home court advantage and then gone back home. But instead, they, of course, blew it. They blew their lead in game three, and they blew a lead last night. I thought that was wild to see that they led for 101 of 184 minutes, and I'd say the vast majority of those came in game one. I thought they led game one pretty much wire to wire, so they probably led for at least 40 of those minutes, at least 40 of those minutes.
And game one was, that was the one they really felt like they should have had. So the thing is, though, when you get down 2-0, 3-0, then, Golden State has some security.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And it just makes it I don't know if it's less pressure on them or makes it tougher for Portland, but
well, Golden State went back to doing what we were used to see them doing, which is really be able to scramble and put flurries of points together. That had kind of gone away a little bit recently. I don't know if it was just Durant leaving or if it's just the playoffs, it's time to go, but when they had to turn it on, they were able to turn it on every time and track down the Blazers all series long. Now, maybe the most fascinating thing is the reemergence of Draymond Green. Like, I know everyone's going to talk about Curry. Everyone's going to talk about him kind of maybe being liberated by not having Durant there anymore. Because if you remember, like, you know, before Durant went down, Curry was shooting 25% from three, scoring somewhere around 18 points a game. Since then, he's gone back to MVP Steph Curry, hitting seven threes last night, running around, shooting. Now, he did most of his damage in the first three quarters, but he was back to being great. To me, though, the biggest story is the reemergence of Draymond Green, who dropped another triple-double. Dropped a triple-double in Game 3 as well. Game 2, he had 16, 10, 7, and 5. That's five blocks, you know, for someone who is thought of as one of the best defenders in the league. He has kind of morphed back into that. Even game one, I mean, 12 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. I mean, just completely, you know, filling the stat line.
That's not too far away from a quadruple-double.
I mean, he's just been balling. He's lost weight. He went out of his way to lose weight to kind of help his game, and he said he's quit arguing with the officials. Said he quit being whiny. I think maybe that Rockets series at least gave us a new Warriors that is just going to play basketball and not play with the officiating. You know, none more so than Draymond Green, who quit arguing with officials and then turned back into a guy that you look at and say, man, he doesn't score a lot of points, but he's a top 20 player. A lot of people like to pick him apart and say, yeah, he wouldn't be good on any other team. Well, that's fine. That team wouldn't be as good without him. This team doesn't win championships without Draymond, in my opinion. Like, I feel like even if you just took him off and put Durant back on, then there was Durant and Curry. I don't think they win the title without him. It's been a really good postseason for him as he's kind of reminded everyone of how good he is. He told Kevin Durant, we can win without you, bro. We've been winning before you. We'll win after you. We don't need you. And once Kevin Durant went down, he showed it. Although he had been playing good, you know, in the playoffs with Durant out there too. But Draymond, his stock back through the roof, been a really good postseason for him. The Warriors, Cody, 5 straight NBA Finals. How big of an accomplishment do you think that is, knowing that, you know, after what? 2 of them, they went out and signed Kevin Durant, an alien, maybe one of the 3 best players in this generation of basketball.
Well, I don't want to say it's not a big accomplishment, because anytime you set a level like that, you got to consider it as an accomplishment. But, and they're the first to do it since 1966, but it does seem like they've been on a little bit of an unfair, playing field. I mean, playing surface, I guess not field, but since they added Durant, because Kevin Durant is the best player in the league. And here they are dominating without him. They won 73 games without him beforehand. So I don't know how really, you know, fair it has been.
Yeah, I said that yesterday in terms of, like, these teams that try to make these runs to the finals, they don't usually get the luxury of adding a piece like him. Usually you have to just kind of run on fumes with your roster. You might be able to get a good role player to bring off the bench or something like that. You don't usually get to add a superstar. So it's a little bit different than these dynasties of the past, but it also makes them maybe the best team of the last 50 years when you take into account what they've done and how they've done it.
Yeah, you still got to – I mean, you got to give them credit just for getting there. Even though they've had such a superior team, it's still an accomplishment. And to have won 3 out of 4 of them, you know, is impressive, and I think they'll probably go ahead and finish off with one more.
I am interested to see what happens to them in the finals with the Bucks or the Raptors. I do think both of those teams are much better than the Blazers. I do think they'll present different options. And I wonder if, like, do the Warriors need Kevin Durant back in the finals? Do they need him back? Will it mess up what they've got going with this, you know, this five-game win streak and Steph Curry being back? Can they just re-implement Kevin Durant back into the system? Who, I mean, Kevin Durant, we know, right? We've talked a while about how sensitive he is, how big of a baby he is. Like, you've seen him on his already back in his feelings on social media now, commenting to Warriors fans, commenting to Chris Broussard, commenting to people who are saying the Warriors don't need him, the Warriors are better without him, blah, blah, blah. Durant is already, you know, responding to them and it's bothering him.
He's got to be taking this hard.
Yeah, I mean, he has to be. It has to be a terrible feeling to know that not only do they not fall apart without you, some say they play better without you.
Best thing he could do is come back and dominate, and then somehow they don't win the title.
Well, no, because he's going to get blamed for ruining them.
I know, but just to spite them. You know, that can be his individual move to walk out the door.
I'd say he still wants a third ring. I'd say he still wants number three. I mean, I'd say Durant probably has in mind that he could catch Jordan.
He seems like a pretty spiteful kind of guy.
I mean, the best thing he could do is for him, I think, would be to come back and just dominate the game and win a third straight Finals MVP. Put him in Jordan's conversation there. Steph Curry gets another championship, but would be 0-4 in terms of Finals MVPs. That'd be a pretty good statement for Durant. Like, yeah, you might not need me until you needed me, type of thing.
It's just such an insane conversation to have.
Yeah.
You know, do the Warriors really need the best player in the game to win?
I think they're going to need help when it comes to the Bucks or the Raptors. I think the Bucks play good enough defense where they can really get length out and bother these shooters. They need Kevin Durant there at his best. But it's a fun conversation to have, and I can't wait to see him re-implemented. And if they start to struggle, how the conversation shifts.
Do we have a timetable for his return? I know that Steve Kerr had said at one point it was worse than they thought.
Well, the finals don't start till the end of May. Like, even if the Raptors lose the next two and the Bucks advance, they're still not setting out, I want to say, until the 28th. So he's got a whole another week to get ready. I would say he's going to be ready for the finals. That was the thought process last week when that update happened. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Cody McClure back in the building with us. Did you want to go ahead and get your Thrones takes off from yesterday, or are you over it?
I don't want to talk about it.
That's true. You kind of forfeited your right to talk about it when you didn't show up yesterday. So
that was another part of my thinking. I didn't want to fight yesterday. So
I didn't want to fight. I mean,
I knew you wouldn't like it, and I didn't necessarily. I kind of liked the last episode, you know. So
it's okay.
I got no takes. It's over. I'm sad. I'm just sad the show is over.
Oh, I'm the opposite. I'm very happy it's over. That would be my disagreement with you, is that I am happy it's over. That way I can move on.
I mean, I'm ready to move on, too, because it's consumed my life for this entire year.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a sweet relief in a way. But I don't know. I miss the characters. I cried at the end.
You did what?
I cried.
Like, teared up or tears coming down your face?
No, I cried. And I cried again when I rewatched it last night. When Tyrion finds Cersei and Jaime, it really got to me. It tore me apart inside.
You cried.
Sadness would be my overall emotion coming out of this season.
So they weren't tears of, like, I'm just going to miss you. It's tears of actual sadness, I guess?
No, it was tears of I'm going to miss you.
Okay.
I think is what it was. You didn't cry?
No. At no point did I even come close to crying.
You didn't love the characters? It's for the characters. I know the writing was bad, but I cried for the characters.
They had, I didn't feel that connection anymore.
I cried because I'll never see Peter Dinklage on TV again.
You can just fire up some, whatever season of Nip Tuck he was on. He was great on that show back in the day. You would love Nip Tuck.
Go watch Elf.
Watch Elf. I'm sure Peter Dinklage will probably be the big winner out of this. He'll get some big roles out of this.
I mean, he was the one kind of well-known actor going into the show.
Yeah, but even he wasn't that well-known. Like, I mean, I don't know what his IMDb looked like, but I mean, I've seen him in Nip Tuck. I saw him in Elf. Like, I'm sure there's a couple other things, but he's in that terrible Pixels movie with Adam Sandler. I know that, but
yeah. That was a bad one. Yeah, I'm just sad to see my characters go, but, you know, it is what it is, and I think we can all kind of get back to normal life now.
So you cried, huh?
You don't have to make fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm just thinking I'm thinking it through of whether or not I think that's justifiable.
I think a lot of people probably cried.
You're the first person I've seen say that.
I didn't know you were going to break it down into me actually crying.
I mean, you said it, like, twice. Said you cried Sunday, you cried Monday, so I mean, feel like
just,
it was...
Let's just say I teared up.
So no tears actually came down the cheek?
I didn't know we were going to break it down, so now I feel like everybody thinks I'm a wimp.
It's okay to cry.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Not if you're a man.
I've been crying during music lately. Been moved to tears when I'm listening to songs lately.
Yeah? That's, you know what they say about music, the best music either makes you remember everything or forget everything.
Is that what they say?
That's what they say. It brings out emotion.
It's a pretty good saying. I've been crying a lot during songs lately.
Which songs?
Just different ones. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Some of them make you cry.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they've been songs that you're allowed to cry in.
Roses by Outkast always really made me tear up. It's always a sad one for me.
A woman named Caroline did you dirty? you think back to your time with a woman named Caroline?
No, it wasn't necessarily the name. It just, I don't know, it always made me sad.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, some songs have that power. Sweet Home Alabama is another one that comes to mind. Just makes you cry, you know?
Does it make you think about the football team or something?
Oh, yeah, okay. That's typically what it is.
Yeah.
I do have this tradition of playing Deacon Blues by Steely Dan every year when we lose to Alabama. I don't know if you're familiar with the song, but mm-mm. There's a line in it that says, they got a name for the winners in the world, and I got a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Deacon Blues. So when they beat our ass every year, I listen to that.
Oh, okay.
So that's sad.
Sounds like you'll look forward to it.
No, it's just become a tradition.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
I was figuring you'd have more takes you'd want to get off.
I don't have
about the show.
I don't have any takes really. I don't. I mean, I thought they wrapped up the Starks for where they were at. I thought they wrapped up the Starks well with that final montage. I mean, you didn't like that at all?
I mean, I didn't. I was
didn't care.
My expectations were low. I talked about it yesterday a little bit. I said like by the time the show started, or the episode started. My girlfriend had asked me if I was excited, and I was like, no, I'm just kind of curious to see how they wrap it up. Like, I was just ready for it to be over. My level of excitement could not have been much different than it was between episode 1 and 6. Like, before episode 1, I was champing at the bit, ready to go. I counted down from, like, 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday, I was just kind of like 8:30. I was like, okay, it's about time to settle in to watch this.
It was kind of like a Tennessee football season.
Yeah.
You're excited at the beginning, and then
you lose to Vandy at the end,
and then yeah,
and you wonder why you invested so much time and energy into this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good comparison.
And you sat there and said, "Man, I really need some new hobbies."
Yeah,
I should get outside more. I should read more books.
You could read a Song of Ice and Fire.
I should no, no thanks.
You won't be able to finish it, but
yeah,
you know,
no thanks.
You can start.
I won't ever watch the show again, and the books are ruined too, unless Fat Boy comes out and says, "I'm completely reworking the ending. Like, that's not what I wanted."
Do you have to criticize his weight?
No, probably not, but I don't like him.
Stephen King likes him.
He's a weirdo. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. I don't really know if that's a good endorsement for me that would change my mind.
Stephen King's been very impressed by this season and the whole show in general.
Really?
I feel like he's got a pretty important opinion.
I mean, didn't most of I want to say, didn't most of Stephen King's books fail to properly adapt to TV or to movies, I guess?
Except for maybe It.
Yeah. I mean, like, outside of that, the rest of them, haven't they, like, notoriously failed to translate?
Yeah.
So that would kind of make sense why he thought it was good.
Well, he probably never had this level of production either for any of his movies.
I mean, I don't know. Pet Sematary just was re-released.
Wasn't that – who did that, the movie?
You mean like the production, like the studio? I don't know.
It was like in theaters and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. The only Stephen King book I ever read was Salem's Lot.
I've never read any Stephen King books.
I watched Silver Bullet. Do you remember Silver Bullet?
That's the one about the werewolf, right?
Yeah, that terrified me. I had trouble with that as a kid for about a week or more. That was a really tough moment in growing up. I should not have watched that at 9 years old. And I'm not sure why my parents let me, quite frankly.
What were your thoughts on Bran ending up on the throne?
I had read the leaks, so I was already prepared for it. And you saw all the odds coming out on it where he's such a heavy favorite. So I kind of knew that's how it was going to happen.
Yeah, I'd talk myself into it being on something cool happening, though. Like, turns out he's been like an evil mastermind the whole time. Like, the Three-Eyed Raven thing has kind of led him to being power-hungry or something. The way they did it was very unfulfilling.
I didn't care for it particularly.
Yeah. So you like the episode, but not the biggest part of the episode? Like the most important part of the whole entire show?
I mean, there were other big things in the episode. I mean, I think you can enjoy an episode without, you know, one particular 5-minute sequence
mattering. I feel like they really dropped the ball and fell out of the top tier of TV shows.
I still look at it as at its peak. It's better than anything I've ever seen.
But see, now you have to put in the disclaimer at its peak.
Sure. Yeah. But you have to do with The Sopranos, right? With the ending to The Sopranos.
No. The ending
that's
of
how a lot of people feel.
The ending of The Sopranos was just, it wasn't bad.
Don't tell me what happens, by the way.
People just thought it was unsatisfying.
Right.
I personally thought it was fun.
I'm watching The Sopranos now.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm on season 1, episode 7.
Okay. You like Tony?
I like Tony.
I feel like you'll really like Tony.
Yeah. Please don't spoil it for me.
Okay.
I know the show's been out for, 25 years or so, but 20 years.
I won't do that to you. I'm curious to see what your reaction is, though, if you like it better. I thought
it a lot so far.
I thought some of season 6 was kind of weird, during the show, but because they just split up into two parts, so I thought that was a little weird. But I didn't think the ending was bad by any means. I thought the ending was good.
Yeah, I've just never enjoyed a show as much as I did Game of Thrones. I know the ending wasn't up to par compared to the rest of the show, but it's still my favorite. I mean, I think
I don't want to bring you down. Like,
still
on
Mount Rushmore.
I'm not angry about it anymore. I've moved on.
Yeah.
So I don't want to. I'm not gonna like bash it or point out some things that really bothered me. I'm over it.
Have you moved on to Chernobyl yet?
No. I'm not gonna watch that anytime soon.
You don't like it?
It's just too fresh.
Yeah. I've watched the first 3 episodes of it.
I'll wait until Succession comes back. I really like Succession. That one seems relatable. I like that one.
I'm ready for the Game of Thrones spinoffs.
about a son that, you know, basically is trying to take over the company. His dad's getting older and sick, but then the dad doesn't want to give him the company because he feels like his son's an idiot, not ready.
Yeah.
Feels kind of relatable to me. From my time on the farm. So I was kind of this seems relatable to me.
Makes sense. That's why I never wanted to work for my dad.
Yeah. I was
afraid of not doing a good job, you know.
I mean, the lady, and I mean, I liked it too. Big Little Lies on HBO. I thought that one was pretty good with Reese Witherspoon. They're adding Meryl Streep this season.
I saw a preview for that.
Her, Nicole Kidman. I mean, I liked season one. I liked season one. Like I said, season two, they're adding in Meryl Streep, so I think I'm in on that one. I mean, I'm looking forward to that one.
What is this show?
It comes out in a couple weeks.
What is this show with John Goodman as like a Southern preacher or something?
I don't know anything about that one.
I've seen that. I've seen previews for that. It's an HBO.
That's a comedy, right, with Danny McBride?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll probably just be a comedy.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the name of it, but thought about checking that out.
Okay.
HBO's still got some great content.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not going to watch the spinoffs of Thrones. That's what that was my big statement yesterday. Is like I'll check back in like season four. I'm gonna need some time apart away from that universe.
Yeah,
yeah,
I understand.
It's crazy to me the Warriors were drawing such good TV ratings though, and it was also crazy to me to see that only 13.5 million people watched Game of Thrones live.
Oh, really?
Does that number not seem low?
It seems low.
I mean, it was up to all the way to like 18 million.
I guess a lot of people have checked out.
Yeah, or just like, I'll catch it tomorrow or something. Yeah. I don't know. I think a lot of people felt that same way that I did. And there probably was a lot of people who were like, you know what, I'm not even going to finish it. I read the spoilers. I'm not watching.
My sister and her husband, they waited till yesterday to watch it.
Really?
And he's one of those he's dedicated the books too. So
they didn't make it fulfilling enough for them to carve out time Sunday for it. They just like, yeah, we'll catch it Monday.
Yeah, we had family dinner last night, and as they were leaving, Kate, like my sister's like,
time to go home and watch Thrones.
Time to go home and watch Thrones, and I was like, time to go be disappointed, and she was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
and then like,
no one can really defend it anymore. And if you are defending it, you're just acknowledging like there's been some defense of it. It's like, yeah, I mean. It was still good. Like, I still enjoyed it. It was still entertaining. Like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was. But still better than watching, like, random things you have no connection to. I'll give you that.
But her husband just stood in silence for a second, and I was like, I know it's worse for you, man. You've been cranking out those books. And he was like, I'm just hoping that he actually finishes them so I'm not just mad.
Yeah. Seems a lot like a Tennessee football season. I feel like Cody made that comparison. It does feel like that was pretty good.
Yeah. The Florida game was the battle for Winterfell. Didn't really turn out the way we all wanted. Although I liked seeing Arya kill the Night King. I mean, there were still moments in this season that I liked.
Still need an explanation for how she got there.
I don't need an explanation for that.
Kind of feel like I still need an explanation for how
she
got
jumped
around
off a rock. Just whatever, you know.
Yeah.
The little things like that don't.
The little things like that are what bother me, and like the explanations, like seeing if these idiots would not have talked after the episodes, I would have been less angry. I think it was these idiots, these idiot writers, D&D, talking about it that ended up making me more angry than just the episodes. Like, their justifications for it. Like, them saying, spoiler alert, Arya's going to kill the Night King because everyone expected it to be Jon. Like, that was pretty much their reason. It's like, yeah, we kind of built Jon up to do this the entire series, but then we thought, it doesn't feel right. No one will suspect Arya doing it. Let's do it that way. That kind of made me mad. Like, yeah, you built it up. We need the payoff. Like, it doesn't make sense that she comes out of nowhere and does it. Like, that, the element of surprise isn't always good.
Sometimes that's how life is, though.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. It would be kind of like, yeah.
Sometimes the thing you're building toward doesn't always happen. Like,
yeah, I mean, but like, if me and you were doing this great radio show and, you know, sitting here honing our craft and, you know, working really hard at it and trending the right way. And then, you know, I don't know, whatever big promotion we could get, either here at the station or somewhere else. Like, we get that big promotion.
Go to Nashville or go to a bigger city.
Something like that. And like, yeah, but actually, Ben and Cam are hosting it now. We'd kind of be like, oh, didn't really.
That'd be awkward.
I didn't really see that coming, but okay.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Makes sense to me.
Like, we've been building up this big career, this big movement, but yeah, okay, Ben and Cam.
Plot twist.
We really love turning left, and the way Ben says, all right, if we started every segment with that, it might be a hit.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, I'd be happy for him.
Yeah, know? Yeah, sure, but I mean, I'd be like, I don't know if that really fits the story here.
Yeah. Well, that would be a lot different.
And, like, when spoiler alert, Euron kills the dragon, and then their explanation was, well, Daenerys kind of forgot about the Iron Fleet. I'm like, oh, she just has a memory lapse, even though, like, they just literally told her about them.
You can tell she had a lot on her mind.
Yeah, like, I'm just like, that's the big explanation is, well, she kind of forgot about the people trying to kill her as she's flying to go try to kill them. She just was up in the clouds riding around thinking about John, I guess. I don't know.
I could see where maybe she wouldn't think they'd be waiting for her at Dragonstone.
I feel like if I was flying to go fight, I'd be ready to fight type of thing. Like, yeah. My head would be on a swivel.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, me personally, that stuff made me more angry. Like, that's the stuff that pushed this over the edge for me.
How about Drogon burning down the Iron Throne?
I'm surprised that after the show they didn't say, well, Drogon realized that the throne is what actually made his mother evil.
That's what people said.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think that he was just trying to clear out a space to fly. That's what I like to think that he was doing.
So that he could take off.
Yeah, just so that he could fly out straight ahead. I like to think
it's like in Grand Theft Auto when you spawn a plane in the middle of the street and you need space to try to lift off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like to think that that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Rather than symbolically, I guess, burning down the throne that was so evil. I like to think he was just wanting to fly.
Yeah. Those of you who've really played GTA know exactly what I'm talking about. You get that plane or a helicopter right in the middle of the street.
It must have been after I quit playing.
You're hitting the damn telephone poles and it blows up on you.
I loved 3. 3 was the first game I really fell in love with.
Oh, really? You never were a Vice City?
No, I'm just saying 3 was the first one I fell in love with. 3 was the one on PlayStation 2.
Right.
I guess was Vice City on PlayStation 2? I guess it was because I didn't have, yeah.
Or,
but Grand Theft Auto 3 was the first one when I was like, wild, I guess, that you could like, that was a, they had changed the graphics on it and things like that, and you could go do hood rat stuff like that. That was the first one I fell in love with. No, I loved Vice City. I loved San Andreas.
5 is good.
I didn't play 5.
I
was done by 5.
It was like 4 or 5 that you started to be able to fly around planes and stuff.
Yeah, I think I was out by then.
5 is the one people play now.
Yeah,
I think because it's like the most.
I think it's the last one that was made.
Yeah. I didn't play.
And even that was probably like 6 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I didn't play that one.
Yeah, I still log in occasionally.
It is funny because it's like one of the few games that still has like cheat codes by like just pushing the buttons and stuff. So like my friends and I like. Yeah,
trying to have to spend your points and then buy more points.
There's like an invincibility one, so like you just like put that in and you start doing everything you want. Like the cops are shooting you, and you're just running around doing your own thing.
See,
but it only lasts for like 5 minutes. So you have to like re-punch it in real fast.
Yeah, I don't like the invincibility because I like to actually try to get away from them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I was always just trying to take down the military base.
It's always fun to spawn a tank and then the tanks start coming at you, you know, but they can't do anything to you because you're a tank and every car you hit just blows up.
And that's that was Talking Grand Theft Auto with John and Cody. We'll be back on the other side. Back on the program. We'll talk about Tennessee and yesterday's recruiting coming up in hour 2. Baseball team plays today, right? Against
Auburn.
Against Auburn. Who swept us?
Not this time.
Well, hope not. They only have to sweep you for one game this go around.
Yeah, we're not getting swept by the definition of sweep.
Well, I mean, I think the definition of sweep is just they.
It's got to be multiple games to get swept.
They continue their season sweep, I guess, a 4-0. Like, I don't know how we would word that. Ben Lee said yesterday when he checked the bracketology of the baseball tournament that Tennessee's in the last four in when it comes to the regionals. So feels like they probably should try to win this game. Like, I don't know if like they'll be knocked out. I don't know how at-large bid works, right? And I don't know if there's any Cinderellas in these other conferences that can come steal a bid. I don't really know how college baseball works.
I don't know why it's so difficult for us to get into this NCAA tournament.
Well, because there's like eight really good SEC teams.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if we're fringe top 25 in the country, is that not good enough to...
Like I'm saying, I have no clue of how many teams. I don't have any clue how many teams like get in the tournament at large. Do you know, Ben?
I'm pretty sure it's just like the NCAA tournament. I think it's a field of 64 at first. Really? Yeah.
And I would imagine, I mean, now granted, to Cody's point, if you're top 25, you would think, hey, that's enough to get in that large bid. But I'm just going to say, like, there's going to be more teams that are good that are non-Power 5.
Yeah, right? When I was doing research yesterday, like, Creighton was at, like, 23.
I mean, I don't know why you got to punish the SEC just because we're so damn good, you know?
Now, we'll see. I mean,
be rewarded.
They're in the top, they're in right now, according to the bracketology. Now, I don't know, like I said, if any bids are going to get stolen and what happens if they lose today to Auburn, but I'm excited to watch this game. This will be the I'm ready. I'm like you when it came to the
first
NBA
one.
Playoffs. I'm ready to jump in now. I watched bits and pieces of other games. I watched bits and pieces of other games. I'm actually lying. I'm not going to be able to watch it. I'm going to be busy.
I'll watch it.
You watch and report back. Well, right. I won't even be. I'm not going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be. It's gonna be a long 2 days for me. I'm not gonna get to watch. I was gonna say I'm ready to sit down and watch the Auburn game, but no, not gonna get to.
Well, I'll watch and report what happens.
Okay,
as any good journalist would do.
Yeah, good. Yeah. You'll have to step up and keep the people informed. I do wonder how many people are going to, you know, make this their first game that they care about. I mean, because now it's postseason play.
I watched the part of that Florida series. Okay. And by part of it, I mean one game on one
But you
night.
Watched a full game of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a full game.
But you watched, I mean,
pretty much.
I want to say maybe it was a Florida game, maybe it was an Arkansas game. I don't know. I watched a good three or four innings of it, but it's cool to see big-time baseball. Like, I don't know. I find myself ignoring baseball, but also liking baseball when I watch it. The problem is I just don't usually watch it.
Yeah.
But like last night, I was flipping around the TV. I mean, I didn't care much about that Warriors-Blazers series just because once it gets 3-0, like it's over, right? Like, I mean, are you going to get the sweep? Sure, maybe. I turned over for the last 5 or 6 minutes, but like I ignored most of that game. But I found myself watching a lot of the Braves game last night.
Who did they play last night?
The Giants. So they were on the West Coast. So, I mean, there wasn't much on TV at, you know, 11 o'clock, but the Braves, Mike Soroka, he was pitching last night, and Mike Soroka is a guy that I'm not really familiar with, but I was looking, I was like, man, this guy's season stats are pretty ridiculous. Like, I mean, he was 4-1, whatever. I mean, that's you know, record doesn't mean as much, but I got to look, I was like, man, his ERA is under 1. So, I mean, he's pitched a lot of games, so, like, this guy might be a stud, so I watched him, and then, yeah, the first 5 innings, he threw a perfect 5 innings. I was like, wow, am I going to stumble into a perfect game here? Like, he didn't let a base runner on for the first 5 innings. And then he gave up a home run in the sixth, a solo shot. He lost his no-hitter, his shutout, and the perfect game all at the same time, but he was able to go 8 innings and not give up any runs, and it was a really fun performance to watch him pitch, and maybe the Braves have an ace. I don't know. Like, this is usually how those guys kind of come out of nowhere whenever they are going to become aces. It seems like maybe the Braves have one of those. I don't know if they're fans or if, you know, how big of a prospect he was, but he had some good stuff and he's been really good this season. But I found myself really into that game.
I used to love watching Giants games, see if anybody could knock one into the bay.
I did when Barry Bonds played.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Obviously. I have not really watched them much since Barry Bonds played. I actually hate watching the Giants play. That's my least favorite baseball team.
Why is that? Because
I've always found them. No, I've always found them very boring. I've rooted against them at times. Like, they knocked out my Reds, and you know, in the playoffs 4 or 5 years ago, and they just won 3 World Series. And I was like, I don't want them to win anymore.
Well, it's over now because they only won it in the even years, right?
Oh yeah, no, it's over now. It. I don't. I don't think they're good anymore.
They won it like, what was it, 12, 14, 16?
It was something like something that, like, yeah.
Didn't win it in 18, though.
No.
Yeah, the Giants, though, they built a new stadium.
Nah, they're still.
Is it the same one?
Yeah, they're still.
They've always
had? Yeah, they're still in the same one.
Okay. I drove by there.
Just no one hits the ball out there anymore, really.
Yeah. I drove by there.
That was so cool watching Barry Bonds hit those.
Yeah, out into the
Covey Cove. Yeah.
They'd all go on Sports Center. You know, hey, here's Barry Bonds knocking one out of the park.
And I mean, pretty much every time he did it was pretty much a historic home run, too. So you'd have people swimming out there in their paddle boat or their kayaks, I guess, and just jumping in the water trying to get the ball because, like I said, they were all historic during the home run chase, during him, you know, passing Hank Aaron and all that stuff.
Barry Bonds was the original Splash Mountain.
I don't know if he's a okay. Yeah, I mean, all right.
Splash, as in baseball hits the water.
Yeah,
splash. You know, most people see that as a basketball term. Barry Bonds made it a baseball term.
Okay.
There was when I was out there 3 years ago. There was a Giants game going on, and so the traffic was really heavy in there.
Okay.
I thought that was a new stadium for some reason, because I remember it was backed up right at the water. I mean, it's like right by the Bay Bridge, from what I recall. Connecting Oakland and San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
It's like right on the corner, kind of.
I mean, that's how it hits right in the water. Is that they're on the water.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought they had built a new one, though. I don't know.
Looks the exact same if they did.
49ers, they built a new one.
They did.
They moved from Candlestick to Levi's Stadium, which is not even in the city.
It's very weird to have Levi's name a stadium, right? Like, am I alone in thinking that's weird?
I don't know. It's kind of like Kentucky, Kroger with Kroger Field.
Is it any weirder than Gillette?
I mean, they're jeans, so maybe.
It's a manly thing.
Brett Favre reps Wrangler.
I mean, when I just think of Levi's, I just think of jeans. I don't know.
Yeah. Denim.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
That's what they sell.
I mean, Gillette, you think of shaving. They're both manly things.
I mean, I don't think of men in Levi's. I mean, I just think of jeans.
When I think of Levi's,
women can wear them, too.
I think of me having to buy Husky-sized jeans when I was, like, in fourth or fifth grade. And I always have to look for the Levi Huskies. I don't know. Maybe I just have bad flashbacks there.
Whenever I think of Levi's, I'm just picturing some boot-cut jeans.
Yeah.
Some just classic jeans.
I don't know. I mean, I guess Gillette. I guess all
Heinz Stadium
like that. Yeah, I guess all sponsorships like that.
I mean, what would be the weirdest thing a stadium could be?
I don't know. Levi just seems so weird, but I guess maybe it's not.
Is ketchup not enough?
I'm trying to think. Yeah,
I mean, at least I associate Pittsburgh with Heinz, like the big Heinz factory and everything there. I don't associate San Francisco with Levi's, I guess, is a part of it.
Oh, I mean, like, that's where Gene, like.
Well, I assume that's where it started. I assume that's where their headquarters are, and that's why they sponsor. I'm just saying I don't associate.
Jeans came around in the gold rush, and that's when everybody got out there to the California.
You would think out in that area it would be a some tech company, you know?
Yeah.
Google Stadium.
Something like that.
Pornhub Field. Something like that.
That'd be a fun game.
All right, Tom, let's head back up to the Pornhub skybox where Jim is on the call.
Yeah.
That would be funny. You know, Facebook Field.
I don't know. Like I said, maybe I just don't associate. Although, like you said, Gillette, maybe I don't associate shaving with New England, Boston.
Do a lot of people still wear jeans, you think? Like they did back in the day?
Like they did back in the day?
Back in the day being like the 90s.
Probably not. I feel like denim was way more in the 90s.
I think with women, for sure, and I don't know a lot about women's fashion, but
uh-huh.
It seems like way more women wore jeans then.
I'll put it on a poll question. Are we still wearing as many jeans as we used to? Is that how you want me to word that?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so it's like, are we still wearing jeans?
Yes.
I mean, jeans aren't canceled.
No, I mean, I still wear jeans in the like late fall. Whenever it gets cold, I put jeans back on.
I don't own a pair.
I mean, I think we've established that with you, but, I mean, Cam, do you wear jeans? Somewhat.
I mean, like, jeans are like my like main source of like long pants. So like whenever it gets cold,
my main source of long pants.
Like, I mean, I like throwing on some chinos these days, so I'm not wearing as many jeans as, you know, as I always do. I switch it up.
I mean, doing what we do, like, we're blessed enough to be able to come in here in like sweatpants if we want to during the winter.
Most of my long pants are Adidas.
Are jeans as much of a thing? I don't know. That's a good question. All right, let's catch a break. We'll come back with Turning Left with Cam. Appreciate Raleigh Clem for sending this in. Apparently, D1 Baseball, I guess, is the website that keeps up with the projections for the NCAA tournament. Tennessee off the heels of taking 2 of 3 from Ole Miss over the weekend has apparently moved firmly in. So yesterday, when it looked like they were in the last 4 or 5 in, they are not. They look to be firmly in right now as a 2 seed is where they're projected, 2 seed in Greenville. It'd be with ECU, Duke, and Campbell. I assume that means that ECU has a 9 next to their name. I assume that means they're the number 9 team in the country. So they'd be going against ECU, but it looks like Tennessee would be firmly in. Appreciate Riley for sending that in. All right, let's fire it up. Let's squeeze in Turning Left with Cam Black here on Talk Sports.
I want you to go back out on that track and hit the pace car.
Hit the pace car?
Hit the pace car!
What for?
Because you hit every other damn thing out there, I want you to be perfect.
Hang it on, Earhart. You scared of the competition? I'm just as poor and stupid as you. I'm going to drive, and I'm going to go fast, and I'm going to turn to the left again.
Can we just get back to the subject of racing, please?
Hell, bring it on, Danica.
Son of a bitch just slammed into me!
No, he didn't slam into you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Dude, check it out, Kenny! My very own NASCAR! Aw, cool, huh, Kenny? Beep, beep!
There's only one good thing about coming to these races. The vibrations from the car. Oh, I love this car! This car!
Oh. Vroom, 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 I love NASCAR.
Still incredibly, incredibly long. All right, Cam Black, Turning Left, let's ride.
All right, we were in Charlotte this weekend for the All-Star race, and so it was a pretty, pretty big dramatic weekend, actually. So they had the little open race beforehand where you could play your way into the All-Star race if you won a stage. They had William Byron won stage one. But our own Trey Wallace's boy, Bubba Wallace, won stage 2, and Kyle Larson won stage 3. So they all got into the All-Star race last minute. And what's crazy is Kyle Larson, who got in on the stage 3 win there, ended up winning the All-Star race. He led the final 13 laps.
Okay.
Got the win. Kevin Harvick was second. Kyle Busch was third. Joey Logano, fourth. And Bubba Wallace was fifth. So two of the top five were actually in the play-in race, which was pretty interesting. Bowman got in on the fan vote. It was like 7 cautions during the 85-lap race, so it was kind of eventful. Some guys blew tires. Hamlin spun out on like the final stage.
I feel like in the All-Star race, they should just let you race with blown-out tires. Just see if you can navigate it. I mean, every other All-Star event has like obstacles and stuff. Let's see if we can make NASCAR. Can we do some like reverse racing? Can we reverse? Can we race in reverse?
They did 4 wide a couple times. So
I
that
mean,
was...
that, that 4 wide. I know they have mirrors. You got to turn around and look. Keep it straight.
It's crazy. But, Ryan Newman drove through the infield once after spinning out and everything. And even at the end of the race, after the checker flag, and Clint Bowyer and Ryan Newman were bumping each other back and forth a little bit, and they ended up parking, and Clint Bowyer hopped out and ran up and got 5 or 6 shots in on Ryan Newman. So we got a quick little skirmish there. They weren't really happy with how – they were racing each other and turned into a quick fight. But So it was a fun little All-Star weekend. And next they're in Coca-Cola 600, which is also in Charlotte.
All right. We'll get your preview of that on Thursday. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. We'll be back on the other side. Founded in